This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves, gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com with no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery. It's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.
Moncrief on News Talk.
A couple of weeks ago, a question sent in to So You Think You're an Adult about coaching kids' teams, soccer and GAA, got a huge response, a lot of it critical. So if you are a coach, how do you navigate training a team that your child might be part of? Ian Mallin is sports business columnist with The Examiner, has been that soldier. Good afternoon, Ian.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, was it soccer you coached, or are you still coaching?
It's soccer mainly, Sean. I have to give up because two of the kids on my team went to play in the National League of Ireland underage, including my own son. And unfortunately, I then became the driver and the carrier of them to their training matches. So that kind of ended in January. So right. After a very, after one of the more satisfying moments of my life, coaching kids and a team and building a relationship with that, it ended very suddenly, which was unfortunate, but it was a great experience and something that I would advise anyone to do. You see, Sean, I think the most important thing here is that there's two reasons why people like me end up coaching, whether that's soccer, whether it's Gaelic games or rugby or whatever. First, of course, is for the benefit of the child and the team itself, to give something back. You know, there's usually an emotional attachment, like one of your own kids is playing, son or daughter or whatever. But the second, and this is something that not a lot of coaches or volunteers talk about, honestly, is that in many ways, it's for selfish reasons. You want to do it yourself. You enjoy it. Mm. Not to make not to make the world a better place, and because the kids, you know, you got to think about the children, that too, of course. But because of the buzz you get from it yourself, even match days were just an incredibly exciting in our house, and coaching that team and then watching those kids develop as players, and if it's not too aloof, as humans, you know, and watching them grow and watching them become, you know, more confident in your presence and with their peers and all that sort of thing. And that stuff you can't underestimate. And very selfishly, that's one of the reasons I really enjoyed it, because it was I got so much back off it myself. Not that I was looking for anything back, but it just came back in spades.
Yeah, though that doesn't sound selfish, to be honest. That's you'd hope one would feel like that. When this came up before on the show, one of the issues was that kids develop at different speeds. You're always going to have a few kids on the team who are fantastic, and maybe on the panel in general who aren't that gifted. And so how do you navigate that in terms of letting them have a shot, even though they mightn't do that well?
Well, it's a difficult one. Look, you'll always have the superstars from 7, 8, 9 who are amazing players and will, throughout their lives and throughout their playing careers, will be superb players all the way through. Then there are the ones, as you said, the late developers, the bloomers, the ones that might need a bit of confidence to tackle, a bit of confidence with the ball, all that sort of stuff. And the good thing now about, I think it's the same in Gaelic games and it's the same in rugby, in that every child in that panel must get game time. I think with football, it's at least a half up until a certain age, or with soccer, I should say, up until a certain age. And that's only right and proper. Because, Sean, I'd say when you and I were young, there were teams that you could be a sub on that team and you could go home that evening and you still wouldn't have got a run out. You know,
yes,
it's a pretty cold environment. But nowadays, everybody gets a run, everybody gets to play, and everybody gets the chance to develop. And some of them will, some of them may not, but at least they've given it a go, and if they've wanted to give it a go, and they've had that opportunity, you know.
Yeah, so but in that scenario where everybody gets a half, do you have to then also calculate about, we're playing someone in a competitive match and we'd like to win?
Well, I wish I could say, yeah, look, there was one or two occasions where there were really, really critical matches where kids didn't get a lot of time that they should have got under my watch. It didn't happen often. They did get a run, of course, semi-finals and finals and stuff like that. But that's, you know, I think everybody understands that, parents particularly. And don't forget, Sean, when you're in charge of a team or a squad of 15 or 16 players, you're in charge of 15 or 16 individuals who are the very center of the universe for a person or for a group of people. Mm-hmm. And there's that management as well, that when you're picking a team, that if, you know, little Johnny or little Mary isn't getting the run this week, they have to start some week, the following week or the week after. You have to treat them all equally and as individually. It helps that you have if you have a squad that everybody in it is great, is a good player. That's not the case, of course. But you've got to give everybody a chance. Even, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, I think there was a piece by Rory Smith in the New York Times this week about coaching his child at 7 or 8 years of age, where there's a non-competitive bent for kids up to the age of under 13. Now, I have to say, I never agreed with that. I think matches should be competitive under underage level. Of course, you'll get one team that could beat another 10 or 11 nil. Obviously, then you can step in and the referee can, you know, you can take a player off and make things a little bit more even. But I think being competitive is not a bad thing for children. Not a bad thing once it's done properly. And we would always, you know, if we had teams underage and, you know, oh, well, there's no points being awarded after the match. There's no league table and stuff like that. Kids still know who won the match. Know who scored more goals than the other team. I think the competitive side is important.
And parents never even had a quiet word with you about little Johnny or little Mary didn't get a run out that time.
Oh, I didn't say that, Sean. there were one or two conversations. In fairness, reasonable. I have often, and I have three kids, I have often been tempted myself to talk to coaches, but I never did. I have one guy who's particularly good. I mean, he was just head and shoulders above the other, so there was no need with him. With the other chap, never did. It's a tempting thing to do, and you can understand the emotions involved, but I always didn't because when I was on the other side of the fence. And also as well, you know, I mean, it's a tough job for any coach. Forget me for a moment. For anybody who's given up their time and anybody who's taken charge of that child, if you like, or minding that child for a set period every week, there is a lot of responsibility on them to make sure that everybody's happy. And I think the most reasonable coaches you can see, and there's the vast, vast majority of them out there, will consider all emotions and particularly, and this is really important as well, Sean, that you teach the child values also, that, you know, respect for referees is a hugely important thing that's still a big problem in football, and it's still a problem in GAA as well, where there's still a culture of it's actually all right to join your buddies on the side. And I don't mean this for underage football or for really young football, but, you know, to join your buddies on the sideline at a Gaelic Games match or at a soccer match and just start shouting abuse at a person who is a few yards away because they're dressed in black and they have a whistle, you know. Yes. So I try to instill, particularly with young teams, they'll come off and then, oh, the ref was terrible today, and that, and you're telling, look, hold on a sec, if the ref wasn't here, we wouldn't have had a game. You can try all that, and it's important to keep chipping away at that. It doesn't always work, but if you can instill some values and at least you can go home happy and say, well, you know what, I did my best there. And winning as well is important, John. It's very important. It can shape the week. You know, if your team wins, the kids are happy. If the kids lose a game, it can shape their week.
Yeah,
and you have to try and get them to deal with defeat and failure. And then yourself, if it's a particularly big game and you've lost, it can really, you know, kind of screw up the week for you, which is pathetic. But that's the way it is, you know.
That's poor. Thanks a million for talking to us today, Ian. That was Ian Mallon there, communications consultant with Stadia Sport and sports business columnist with the Irish Examiner.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves, gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com with no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery. It's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.